The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 5. We're not sure what scene it is anymore, so we'll just call it COVID-19 scene. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Susie Hobbinstock from BroadwayWorld.com.
I'm Julinda Lewis with RVAR Review.
And I'm Claire Boswell with Style Weekly.
And since we obviously don't have any shows to go out and see, we thought we'd talk about some of the shows that we would like to see, shows that are coming up in the season that obviously have been canceled or postponed, and maybe some of the ones we even missed because some things got shut down pretty quickly. Claire and Julinda, I think you both had shows that you'd missed that were running. Why don't we talk about those first, and then we'll go from there.
Today, I noticed that the last show I reviewed was Small Mouth Sounds, and that was running right in the midst of everything, and they never got a chance to complete their run. I thought it was a really, really interesting show. I enjoyed it tremendously. I thought it was a great undertaking where you have a show where one of the main premises is that the main actors have to all take a vow of silence.
I thought we did review that one in Curtain Call, didn't we?
We did.
Did we?
Oh, yeah, we
did. I can't remember. I'm sorry. But many people didn't get a chance to see it, so let's go on.
I really, really enjoyed Small Mouth Sounds, too. And one that I really wanted to see and I was looking forward to that I did not get to see, I actually had tickets the night that they decided to close and cancel the show, was The Revolutionists at Theater Lab. Just hearing what others were saying about this show and seeing a lot of the pictures, the costumes looked amazing. And I'm very interested in the feminist aspect of this show. I'm sad I missed it.
Yeah, it was a good show. We enjoyed it. So then why don't we jump into some of the shows that we're looking forward to seeing or maybe we won't see, we don't know. Susie, why don't you jump in first on that?
Okay. So one of them that I was very much looking forward to was Sugar in Our Wounds at Triangle Players. The reason I got interested in that is that when I was out in San Diego this winter, South Coast Rep in Orange County, California, was doing the play Fireflies by the same playwright, Danye R. Love. I looked it up so I know how to pronounce it. And he has written a trilogy, or he's in the midst of a trilogy of plays with this theme of shining a light, an imaginary light on historical figures of color that are queer. Fireflies, the one that I saw, takes up a figure that's similar to Martin Luther King and his wife, similar to Coretta Scott King, and imagines that the wife was maybe more than just a support to her husband, that she actually wrote some of the speeches, didn't get the credit, and also that she had not a realized, but nevertheless a rich fantasy life about another woman. And we've been a little bit familiar with Danye R. Love because of an essay that he wrote in connection with not wanting white critics to come and criticize his plays. I think we posted that in the Richmond Theater Facebook page, or one of the pages where we have discussions, and it was a very interesting essay that sparked his name for me to think about the issues that he's raising and think about the issues that he undoubtedly would have raised in this play, Sugar in Our Wounds, which takes place on a plantation in the Civil War era and concerns two male slaves, I believe, that have a romance.
That does sound interesting.
Wow.
Julinda, was there anything that you were looking forward to that you're not sure we're going to get to see at this point?
Absolutely, because just before all this, I had been speaking with Carol Pearsall about Fulfillment Center, which was scheduled to open. And I thought it's kind of ironic that it was very timely. It deals with the lives and interactions of a group of characters who are working for various reasons at an Amazon.com type of a distribution center, and the intersection of their lives and why they're there and how this all plays out. And I was really interested. It seemed like it would be an intimate kind of play that deals with some very relevant issues, things that are in the news today and in our minds and in our families. So I'm hoping that we do get a chance to see that when we can go back to see real theater, live theater, I mean.
Claire, how about you? What were you looking forward to that, alas, may not happen?
Yeah, I'm really bummed that we might not get to see the Virginia Rep production of A Doll's House Part 2. I think that Richmond was going to get a really nice treat because we did recently see the Ibsen show, Doll's House, at Theater Lab with Katrina Carol Lewis. And I believe she was again going to reprise that role of Nora in Lucas Nath's.
She was going to reprise it, and David Bridgewater was going to play the husband this time. Yes. Real quickly, I want to jump in before you finish talking about it. One of the things that was interesting about that show was Sharon Ott, who is the head of the theater department at VCU for the last couple of years, that was going to be her first locally produced production. She did The Wolves last year at VCU, but we don't count that as a professional production. She's directed two Obie-winning plays. She's a member of La Mama Theater. She was the artistic director of Berkeley Rep when they won a regional Tony Award in 1997. And actually, interestingly, she directed Twilight with Anna Deavere Smith. Of course, Katrina did last year here. She's been a director all over the country as a guest director, and now she's directing that. So that was kind of another reason to see that would be an interesting show.
Yeah, and I was going to talk a little bit about the playwright, Lucas Nath. I've had my eye on him for a while. I think we've had a couple of his shows produced in Richmond. The last one was The Christians, which was at Cadence. And then before that, it was Hillary and Clinton. But both of those were really amazing productions, and both of those scripts really caught my eye. Like, I think he's an interesting playwright and definitely somebody to keep your eye on. And so, yeah, that production was going to have, you know, an up-and-coming playwright who's definitely worth watching, a director who's definitely worth watching. I'm just really, I hope they'll bring it back whenever we get back.
Hopefully everyone got a chance to listen to the hour-long podcast I did a couple of weeks ago on the state of the theater. One of the things that we talked about in that with Anna Johnson at Cadence was the production of True West that they were already in rehearsals for. And the interesting thing they were doing is it's just two actors. It's the Sam Shepard play with Landon Nagel and Stevie Rice as the two estranged brothers. And they were going to alternate the roles. One night you'd see one of them in one role, then they'd switch roles. This was actually done in 2000 on Broadway with Philip Seymour Hoffman and John C. Reilly. I was hoping to see that because obviously that's a pretty interesting concept. And the question is, would we have to see it two nights to make that decision in terms of nominations?
Definitely want to see it twice.
Yeah, I have two musicals that I was looking forward to. One was going to be at Richmond Triangle Players. It's A New Brain by William Finn, did the music and lyrics, the same guy who did Falsettos and Falsetto Land and Putnam County Spelling Bee. And James Lapine did the book. And I know it only from the original cast album, which I like very much. It was done off Broadway in 1998, and it's a funny, weird sort of musical, but it's based on the fact from William Finn's actual life that he had a weird brain event. It's called an AVM, a vascular malformation in his brain that caused a crisis, and he ended up in the hospital and was very ill for a very long time, but actually recovered completely, and out of that he made this musical. And the other one was Fifth Wall's production of Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson. I'm told that maybe that wasn't going to happen anyway. Maybe it had already been decided that it wasn't going to happen, but it's a really fun, interesting musical from 2008. I did take myself out to the American Shakespeare Center in Stanton to see this a few years ago, and it's in the tradition of the wacky summer musicals that we've had from both Firehouse and Fifth Wall. Just crazy stuff about Andrew Jackson, land snatching, Indian slaughtering, crazy musical appropriate for our time.
Claire, was there a second one that you were looking forward to?
I think Chicago would have been fun.
There's one more I wanted to mention that I was looking forward to because it made such an impression on me when I was in high school. Dutchman by Amiri Baraka, who of course was then called Leroy Jones. It was written in 64. I also remember seeing the movie in 67. It's about a white woman and a black man on a New York subway. And I remember it being very intense and pretty controversial. And I was looking forward to seeing what Dr. T would do with that. Not only that, in theater labs. So we probably, knowing the way they stage shows, it probably would have been set up like a subway car and we would have all been passengers to watch the interaction.
Now that would be fascinating.
So anyway, hopefully we don't want to be too much of a downer here. So hopefully we will have a chance to see some of these shows in the fall.
This is Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review, checking out until the lights come back on.
This is Claire Boswell with Style Weekly, and I look forward to seeing you at the theater.
And Susie Hobbinstock from BroadwayWorld.com. Everybody stay healthy.
And this is Jerry Williams from Sifter. We'll see y'all in a couple of weeks, at least on the radio.
See you on the radio.
Faces made for radio.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.